Welcome to the Church of Quell Creek podcast, a ministry of the Church of Quell Creek in Amarillo, Texas. Dive in with us as we open God's words and then stick around for a message from our pastor.
Back in the 1930s, there was a radio show that came on called the Little Orphan Annie Show. 1930s, families would gather around the radio and they would listen each week to the perils that would happen in Little Orphan Annie's life. I was made known about the Little Orphan Annie Show through a Christmas story. If y'all remember, Ralphie listens to Little Orphan Annie. What's interesting is that part of the story is true. Little Orphan Annie in 1935 released her first ever secret society secret decoding ring. You would put in for it in the mail and it would come to your home. And at the end of the Little Orphan Annie Show, she would give you a special code. And that code was always sponsored by a company. And that code was always the company's slogan of the day. I can't even begin to tell you how many kids spent all their time, spent some money, and got in that secret decoder ring. Felt so special because it came in, only to find out, like Ralphie did in A Christmas Story, that it's a crummy commercial. You know, I think a lot of times when we read through Revelation, we're trying to crack the code. And for many people, they feel like they have. They know all the answers to Revelation. I will tell you that when you crack the code, it can only mean one thing. We have a king. He really lived, and he is really coming back. That much, I can promise you, if you read Revelation, you're going to find out. Now, the rest of it, I'm telling you, is a lot of code. And it's tough. It's tough to get through. But if you've read through Revelation with us to finish the year, God bless you. It's been fun, hasn't it? It's interesting. By the way, the book of Revelation is not the revelation of John. It's not his revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus, right? Who speaks to John, who shows up before him. But there is a promise in Revelation and a warning. The warning is don't add to it. Don't subtract from it. The blessing is everybody should read it. That's what Jesus tells the churches of Revelation, that they should read Revelation and they should spend time in it. So there is a warning and a blessing in Revelation. So I hope that you'll spend some time reading it. And I hope that you won't be, don't run away from it. Don't let Scripture be too overwhelming. Read it, and what you don't understand, research it. Look it up. Go find guys like Brother Jimmy Phillips. Go spend some time with him. Ask him what it means. I promise you, my brother Jimmy, he spent a lot of time in Revelation. And he is a good resource for me in my life. I keep telling him every once in a while, hey, give me more of your stuff. Man, I appreciate his brotherhood and I appreciate his time in the book of Revelation. But as we uncode it, what you're going to find is Jesus. And I hope that you've read Revelation to discover Jesus. Today we're going to be in Revelation chapter 22. I felt like if we're going to end the year in Revelation, let's end at the end of Revelation. Revelation chapter 22, starting with verse 6. It says this, "Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. The Lord, the God of the Spirit of the prophets, has sent an angel to show his servant what must soon take place. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down and worshipped at the feet of the angel who had shown them to me. But he said to me, don't do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. Then he said to me, don't seal up the words of the prophecy of the book, because the time is near. Let the filthy still be filthy. Let the righteous go on in righteousness, and let the holy still be holy. Look, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me to repay each person according to his works. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexual immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves the practices of falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to attest to the things to you for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bride and morning star. Both the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let anyone who hears say, come. Let him who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life as a gift. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him plagues that are written in the book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share of the tree of life and the holy city which are written about in this book. He who testifies about these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with everyone. Amen. Amen. You know, as we look at this passage, we can certainly see Jesus, and he identifies himself with a phrase. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Amen. He is the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I find this fascinating about Jesus because of his character. As you see on the screen today, there's the letters. In the Greek, this is the first and the last of it. But I think it's fascinating how Jesus calls his disciples. He says, if you want to be first, you're going to be what? Last. And Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and give his life away as a ransom for many. So we know that Jesus is not only the model of he who was from the beginning, he is also the servant. He is the last. He is the one that willingly lays down his life. Remember, Scripture says, no one takes my life from me. I willingly lay it down. He chose to be last. He chose to suffer so that you and I could be made born again. So you and I could be made whole. So that you and I could have a hope and a future. He does all of this and he sets himself aside. Remember, it says that Jesus didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but instead he became in the form of a servant. And he lays down his life in this form of a servant, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Amen. You see, this Jesus modeled exactly who he is. He didn't want to just have the title. He wanted to model the title. Amen. He wanted to show the world what it looks like to act like one of his. He could have sat in lofty places. He could have ordained himself with gold, ornate in everything he did. He could have had no trouble, no suffering, nothing but great. You know, we sit back and we think of kings. Kings like David, kings like Solomon, who had it all. Solomon had wisdom and riches and everything that you could imagine. He had it all. And God could have done that. He could have come to earth and been the next Solomon. Instead, he chose the form of a servant. Amen. But why? So that you and I would learn to model our lives after him. The world will know that we are his by the love that we possess, not by the things that we own. Amen. It's not about our possessions. It's not about our power. But let me tell you this. How much more do we need as sons and daughters of God? You have it all. Amen. You have it all today. But we are called to lay down our lives for those around us. Amen. Why? Because we were called to look like Christ. Amen. It's the beauty of the Christian life. He hasn't called anybody in this room to be the great judge. None of us. Even if today you are, in fact, a judge in Amarillo, you still are not called to be the judge of spiritual character. You're called to love. Amen. And he is the judge of those things. Amen. It's the joy we have as Christians. While we absolutely stand firm on God's word, when he calls sin, sin, so should we. Amen. He also calls us to live in a freedom that comes from saying, he will judge. I get to love. Amen. That's what we get to do. He released you from even having to be a judge. He came and he willfully laid down his life for us. Isaiah 44, verse 6 will be on the screen. It says this, and this is what the Lord, the King of Israel and its Redeemer, the Lord of armies, says. By the way, there's a lot of titles in that first passage, isn't there? Lord of armies, King of Israel, Redeemer. This is what he says. I'm the first and I'm the last. There is no God but me. Who like me can announce the future? Let him say so and make a case before me, since I have established an ancient people. Let these gods declare the coming things and what will take place. Do not be startled or afraid. Have I not told you and declared it long ago? You're my witnesses. Is there any other God but me? There is no other rock. I don't know any. Amen. You and I, we get some clear definitions about God and his character being first and last. We get to see him exhibited completely before us and get to acknowledge what that really looks like in our lives every day. But there's two paths. Two paths that are talked about in Revelation chapter 22. The first is those that are washed clean, and the next is those that are living in falsehood. Let's look at the text again today in Revelation 22. It says in verse 14, "Blessed are those who wash their robes so they have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates." And then it switches and says, "Outside are what? The dogs." Why would God talk about people like dogs? Well, it's not really, I don't want you to not think it's a derogatory term, but let me tell you what a dog would have looked like in Israel. A dog would have been something that would have stolen from you, attacked you, barked at you, and would be merciless towards you. And if you really think about our world, that's what it looks like, doesn't it? Always barking, always stealing, always wanting to harm another. Outside are the dogs, the sorcerers. The sorcerers? I remember when, there was a few years ago, that anybody that read Harry Potter, we thought was a sorcerer. Y'all remember those days? We were like, oh, you read Harry Potter, you've got to be a witch or a warlock. Only to kind of find out that that's not really how that works, right? But let's not be misled. In this passage, as it talks about sorcery, it talks about those that would find any other path towards a future except for God's word. Those are people that would have gone to soothsayers or fortune tellers, or they would have tried to find out what does their hand or palm read say. And I don't know about you, but there's a few places around Amarillo that when I drive by, I pray for that building. You see it on the outside. It says, "Palm readings done here. Don't be misled. Our city has absolute evil in it." And we find it trivial. We think reading your horoscope can't be bad. Except who gets to tell you your future? We just read in the passage out of Isaiah 44, who can tell you your future? Doesn't God lay out the future? And so if anybody else is telling you what the future holds for you, let me tell you, that is a voice you don't want in your life. Outside the city gates were the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexually immoral. This speaks volumes in our culture. Listen, we could sit here and talk about homosexuality being a sin, but I also believe that premarital sex is a sin. Pornography is a sin. It's what the sexual immoral do. That's why Jesus had to clarify when he was here on walking the soil with us. He says, y'all say don't commit adultery. I tell you, if anybody looks lustfully upon another person, they've already committed adultery in their heart. Listen, Jesus didn't come to wipe away the law. If anything, he made the law more pertinent than ever. Thus, we needed a savior. Because even if you think or look lustfully upon another person, you are the sexually immoral. You see, Jesus is the real deal. We need him so desperately. Amen. And then it says, not only the sexually immoral, the murderers. Listen, in our culture, I think we tend to think of murder solely in war and even in abortion clinics. But what about when Jesus shows up and he says, but I'm telling you that if you in your heart say against your brother, Raca, you have already committed murder in your heart. Listen, how many times have we murdered people in traffic? Don't you think we need Jesus? Amen. Listen, we're just talking like family today. We're talking about people who do know Christ. And then it says the idolaters. Certainly we don't We don't have idols in our life, right? Like, we can just pass over this one completely. No one has any idols in their life anymore, right? Except we're constantly bombarded by idols. We worship at the feet of so many things and so many people. It's scary to me that we know more about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce than we do Jesus. But we don't have idols. And then it says, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I think you could sum up all of the former things in that sentence. Amen. You see, your idols are going to talk to you. Your sexual morality is going to talk to you. Your evil actions, sorcerers, all these things are going to speak in your life. That's why we must allow Jesus to speak more. Because they all want to talk. Back in the day, there was an umpire, a famous one named Babe Pinelli. Babe Pinelli was sought after. But one day at the plate walked up Babe Ruth. And after a third called strike, Babe Pinelli gave him the good, you're out. And the crowd all around Babe Ruth booed Babe Pinelli. Boo, boo, what a bum. Babe Ruth turned to Babe Pinelli and he says, how could you call that a strike? There's about 40,000 people here that tend to disagree with what you just said in your opinion. Babe Pinelli, cool-headed, replied, that may be true, but the only opinion that counts right now, Babe, is mine, and you're out. A lot of times we want to argue with God about what sin is. We want to point out the sin of others. We just don't want to deal with ours. Because if we can keep pointing, we don't have to deal with us. It's the old saying, right, that when you point, you can always point at one person at a time, but you always have three fingers pointing back at you. This is why Jesus says, I'm coming. Coming soon, not because I have to, but I choose to. Not only for justice to be done, and he will exhibit justice when he returns. Says so in the passage we read today. He says that he will absolutely judge everyone according to what they've done. And that is terrifying for those that don't know him. Verse 12 says, look, I'm coming soon, and my reward is with me to repay each person according to his work. And lest we think we can hide, he then gives his name. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Oh, where can we hide? I can tell you one place where you should hide today. In Christ. In Christ. And we should beg and plead that he would wash us clean, that he would make us holy, that he would rob our sin, that he would cleanse our minds and our hearts. We should beg and plead and cry out, oh God, that you would steal from me myself. Because I am so broken and wretched on my own. How desperately I need you. Amen. And he will. He will be sought if you seek for him. Amen. And he will be found. You know, as I look at the passages of Scripture, I'm reminded of Psalm 51. It says, thus be gracious to me, God, according to your faithful love. According to your abundant compassion, blot out my rebellion. Completely wash away my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. For I am conscious of my rebellion, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you alone I have sinned and done this evil in your sight, so you are right when you pass sentence. You are blameless when you judge. Indeed, I am guilty when I was born. I was sinful when my mother conceived me. Surely you desire integrity in the inner self. And you teach me wisdom deep within. Purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Let your face turn away from my sins and blot out all my guilt. God, create a new clean heart in me and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Amen. Those of you that are Bible scholars will recognize that this psalm was written by David when he was confronted with his sin about Bathsheba. He begged God, would you cleanse me even though I've gone too far? He had killed. He had committed sexual immorality. He had lied. He thought he could hide. But our God is the Alpha and the Omega. Amen. We cannot hide. Amen. And so God sent a prophet. And that prophet confronted David about his sin. And David could have said, "Get out of my face. I'm the king. I can do what I want." And so many in our culture, that's our response to God. I can do what I want. Get out of my face. But we serve a God who says, "No, I love you too much to let you die like this. I want to make you clean and holy." And he did it long before you and I were born, because he knew us then. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He knows the length of your days and the hair on your head. He loves you so much that he knows your DNA better than a doctor, because he is the great physician. He is the creator of everything. The same God that made the oceans roar. The same God that carved out the canyons. The same God that knows the stars in heaven by name created you. And he only died for you. Powerful. Praise God for that. Jesus is inviting you to join him today. Both the Spirit and the bride in verse 17 say, "Come." Let everyone who hears say, "Come." Let him who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life as a gift. You see, oh church, we should constantly be crying out to the world, "Come, come, drink of the water. Come, know Jesus. Come and be filled. Come and be changed. Come and be healed." We should constantly be crying out to a world, "I don't have it put together. I'm on the path of healing, but you should come too. It's awfully good. Come." There was a professor at a university in religion. He met a young man after class one day, an athlete named Steve. Steve was strong. He was intent on going into seminary, and he wanted to change his world. He told the professor, "I just want to see people changed, professor. I want to do what I can." And professor said, "Steve, I've got a question for you. How many push-ups can you do?" Steve said, "You know, I do about 200 a night." He goes, "Woo, it's pretty good. Do you think you could do 300? Steve stood there and he goes, "I don't know. I've never tried to do 300, but I bet I could do it." And he goes, "That's good, Steve. Can you do 300 of them in sets of 10? Steve thought about it for a second. He goes, "Oh, well, yeah, I think I can do that." He said, "Good. That's good, Steve. I'm going to need you to do that on Friday, so be ready. It's the last day of class, and we're going to get a start on the early weekend and have a party in the class. Would you come and be prepared to do push-ups?" And Steve went, "Well, okay, sure." That morning, as the class came in, he asked Steve to come to the front. And from behind his pedestal, he set a dozen donuts. He opened it up and he used his hands to waft that beautiful donut smell. Y'all could smell that, right? Fresh donuts. The class all started to salivate. He said to the girl on the front row, "Sally, would you like a donut?" She said, "Oh, yes, sir." He goes, "Okay, Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so that Sally could have a donut?" He said, "Yes, sir." And 10 push-ups done, Sally got a donut. He looked at Chris next to Sally and said, "Chris, would you like a donut?" He said, "Yes, sir." And he goes, "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so that Chris can have a donut?" "Yes, sir." 10 push-ups. This went on and on and on, a class full of 45 students. As he started getting to the 30th student, Steve's push-ups started to slow down a little bit. He started to sweat. His arms started to shake, but he did his push-ups. Commotion started to ring out. The bell had rung, but students started to peer into the classroom, and as they finished the 45 students, the professor just kept setting new donuts up, and he would yell to a student in the hallway, "Come on in. Would you like a donut? And the class at this point, seeing Steve physically drained, were saying, hey, stay out. Stay out. He's having to do push-ups. Stay away. But there were students that wanted to peer in, and certainly these students wanted a donut. About the 50th student that came in, at this point, Steve's push-ups had moved to his knees. And with every push, he was trying his hardest, but shaking every part of it. And another student would come in, a professor would say, would you like a donut? And the other students in the class would cry, stay out! Stay away! You don't want a donut. They're not that good. They're not that good to make Steve have to keep doing push-ups. From the floor, Steve looked up and he said, send them in. I'll do a push-up for them. At this point, other students would say, Steve, I'll do the push-ups. And professor said, no, I'm sorry, you can't. Only Steve can. And with each student that would come in, now the classroom's packed. Students were crying and begging the professor to stop. And finally, no more students came in. Steve was in a puddle of sweat, laying on the ground, heavy breathing, unable to really even push his weight back up. And professor looked down at Steve and he said, Steve, you wanted to teach the world a lesson. Here it is. Jesus paid a price for your sin that cost him desperately. And for too many people that come to know Christ deeply, they would rather push the world out than invite them to a Christ who desperately suffered so that they may have a little joy in their life. And Steve, today you showed the world what suffering looks like so others could have what they didn't earn. Jesus is asking you to come. Amen. He did all the work. And let me tell you, the more I come to know Christ, the more wounding it is to know how desperately he died on behalf of my sins. He paid a price I deserved. My sin meant my death. It meant my separation. It meant my suffering. But he paid it all for me. And he did it for you. And today he calls out, come! I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Nothing is hidden. Your sin is not hidden. I paid the price for it. Come! I will save you. I will cleanse you. I will heal you. But you've got to come. Come to Christ. He is faithful and true. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Savior of the world. He is the Lamb who was slain. He is all these things and so much more. But to know him, you must come. You must give up your sin. You must ask him to cleanse you, and he will. He will do it here. He will do it now, and he desires to do it in your life. Come, come. Today, let me beg you, with all that I have in me, would you come today to Christ? Would you finally lay aside the sin that has kept you away from him? And would you beg and plead, Lord, cleanse me completely. Forgive me for what I've done. And I give you my life. Would you do that today? Please do that today. Do not leave this room without that. Do it now. I'm telling you, he will cleanse you. He will lead you. And he will change your life. He did all the work. All you have to do is come. Would you come today and know this Jesus? Lord, I pray for my friends in this room. God, I pray that you would speak to them and that they would listen. Lord, that today would be a day that people would come to know you as Savior and Lord, that they would come today, that they would quit hiding away, but Lord, that they would be found hidden in you. So Father, speak. Father, lead. Lord, bring the change that is so desperately needed in our lives. Lord, it all starts with the cleansing power of knowing you as Savior and Lord. So, Lord, would you speak and make us obedient today? Lord, We plead and ask that you would make us obedient. God, that you would rip us away from ourselves and would make us holy in you. Lord, that's what we desire, that you would save this room and that no one here would leave here without knowing you as Savior and Lord. So, Lord, would you come and make us obedient to respond in the same manner? We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand?
Hey, this is Pastor Kyle. I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you see the love that Jesus has for you by paying the price for your sins. I pray that if you haven't already, you would take the time right now to talk to Jesus and ask him to forgive your sins and lead your life from here on out. We would love to talk to you about Jesus and getting to know him better. Contact us by emailing us at info@tcqc.org. tcqc.org. Or by finding us on social media. We would love to meet you. I hope you had a wonderful day, and as always, we would love for you to join us for worship really soon.